Following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the services of Sunday, June 17th, 2018. Thank you to Jim Disklin for your sponsorship.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Holy Trinity on this wonderful, beautiful day. It is good to be gathered together this morning. Special Father's Day to the fathers in the room. Now, I got to tell you a quick story. When I was growing up, the church I went to, senior pastor, every Mother's Day, gave a pretty similar sermon each year. The sermon went something like this, about how grateful he was and we should be for the mothers in the room, the unconditional love of mothers and the way in which they are a proof of God's divine work in this world to us. And then, come Father's Day, it seemed like every year he gave an apology sermon. We stumble, we bumble, we fumble, but thanks for giving us grace as we try our best. I just think it was great. So you could count on that kind of sermon every year. But I thought, you know, how about today? Let's give a round of applause to the dads in the room. Not an easy job, but we are thankful for the dads who are here today and the dads on our minds and on our hearts. Well, without further ado, I invite you to stand and let's join together in our opening hymn, This Is My Father's World. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us now pause for a moment of silence before we confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Join me, please. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you are the tree of life, offering shelter to all the world. Craft us in your itself and nurture our growth, that we may bear your truth and love to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we hear our special music for today.
First reading is from Psalm, the 92nd chapter. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. The righteous flourish like the palm tree, and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. In old age they still produce fruit. They are always green and full of sap, showing that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Here ends the reading.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the earth, on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I was talking to a pastor mentor of ours this weekend, and he was over at our home. He happens to be a master gardener. Just out of curiosity, are there any master gardeners in the room here? Anybody that's a master gardener? We've got fingers pointing to parents. Yeah, okay. Well, let's just say this. He notices what we do to our yard. And he said, "Last time I was here, you had quite a few big shrubs here on this side of the house. Where'd they go?" And I said, "Well, sometimes if I get a little stressed about something, I take it out on the shrubs." And I said, "As a pastor, do you get what I mean?" He said, "How do you think I became a master gardener?" But stressed or not stressed, I love taking care of the yard. I don't know what I'm doing most of the time, but it's good for my soul to pick weeds, trim shrubs, pick up sticks, and get into the just monotonous rhythms of lawn mowing back and forth, and letting my mind run wherever it chooses to run. And in the season of ordinary time in the church, we're thinking about how faith applies to the ordinary times in our life. And today we read a parable from Jesus comparing the kingdom of God to something that the people could relate to, something that we can relate to. Seeds, growing shrubs, plants. And so he said, as we heard, "What can we compare the kingdom of God to? It's like a mustard seed. When sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on the earth, but when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs." Now, one of my jobs as a pastor is to unpack the scripture passage a little bit. And so in my research, I've learned that mustard plants actually weren't considered that special in Jesus' time. They were ordinary plants, commonplace. They weren't looked at like the cedars of Lebanon in our text, or the palm trees. They weren't like an extraordinarily beautiful rose or a blossoming crabapple tree or tall and imposing redwoods. Mustard plants were almost like weeds, the kind of plants that grew everywhere if you weren't careful. Now, we might have some distance between ourselves and this passage, this metaphor, but I think Jesus deliberately chose a plant for this metaphor that would catch people off guard when comparing it to the kingdom of God. So to be a little bit more relatable today, I'm going to invite us to think about the kingdom of God to a similar plant, maybe a parallel plant that we can understand a little more easily. That of dandelions. Why would Jesus compare the kingdom of God to something so commonplace, even pesky, as a mustard plant, like a dandelion? Let's come back to that in a minute. As I mentioned, today's Father's Day. And as we're fresh off celebrating Miriam's third birthday, she turned 3 this week, it's pretty exciting, I've been thinking a lot about what it means to be a father, what it's like to be a father, where I've
done right, where I've stumbled, fumbled, and bumbled, like the pastor I grew up with talked about, where it's been a challenge, where it's been a joy, but most of all, what it's like to see my own daughter grow up. And as I reflect on Miriam now being three, it's clear that she's not a little toddler. She's a little girl now. She's talking in full sentences after she breaks the ice for a while. She's shy for a bit, but then once you get to know her and you have some time with her, she talks in full sentences. She knows her alphabet. She can count up to 24 sometimes. She's got self-awareness and awareness of others, and she frequently, when we get to the end of the day, of a school day, she tells us all about what happened at school today. And so at a birthday, at a milestone moment, I can't help but compare this year at three to last year at two and where she's at in just 1 year. And this year, as I've been thinking, I think, boy, she's grown a lot. When did that happen? When did that happen? You know, one of my tendencies, I'll admit, is I like to kind of compartmentalize my tasks. It's, you know, church day, or it's tennis time with Coach TG, or it's family day, or it's time to tear out shrub time, or whatever it is. I've got compartmentalized times in my life. But sometimes Miriam decides that she wants to grow or learn in times that aren't necessarily convenient for me. I admit sometimes I struggle with this. Sometimes I struggle when her natural curiosities, questions, and self-initiated growth conflict with my own compartmentalized schedule and agenda. So I can sigh if I'm ready to plug on some things at night and we're just finishing up bedtime and she wants to read another book instead of happily going to bed. And I can be frustrated when we need to get to a meeting but she's bound and determined to learn how to get into her car seat by herself. But sometimes, especially on days like birthdays, when time seems to stop and you get a snapshot of life, I realize that all along, she's been growing. Even when I don't observe it happening, even when I'm pastoring or coaching or doing yard work, she's still growing. Turns out Miriam doesn't just grow on family days. When I can see it happening, she's always growing. And she's growing a lot. And in some ways, her growth is kind of like the growth of dandelions. You think you've got it under control. You turn around, get distracted on something else, and then all of a sudden, when you look again, you realize the growth has occurred. So we're talking about dandelions today. And if you're like me, these are things that you don't get excited about necessarily. It's a constant battle trying to get rid of these dandelions. But in our gospel for today, Jesus turns to a surprising weed-like shrub, a mustard plant, kind of like a dandelion in shrub form, and says these dandelions have something to teach us about the kingdom of God. What? Dandelions? The people hearing this parable were probably just as astounded as you hearing dandelions? What? Mustard plants? What can dandelions teach us about a life of faith? Now, this is a strange connection, I'll admit, because these dandelions aren't always a welcome surprise. They tend to poke their heads out right after you just mowed, almost in a mischievous way. But I want us to wonder today, maybe God's work in our lives is a little mischievous too. Because just when we get our lawns mowed, just when we tell our lives what our schedules will be, and we think we have things all set, God just may be starting to plant something else. And it may be just what we need. Maybe our faith life needs some dandelions. Maybe our faith is supposed to disrupt us or interrupt our schedules a little bit. Now, while on one hand, dandelions can be frustrating if we look at them through my eyes, since I'm talking about my daughter a lot today, I'm just going to share what's interesting is that she doesn't see dandelions the way I see dandelions. She calls them beautiful flowers. A pop of yellow in a sea of green. And then when the flower fades and it turns into the gray seeds, she sees it as a delightful toy. She likes to blow the seeds like she likes to blow bubbles. So I see dandelions as pesky weeds. She sees them as beautiful flowers. I see them as unnecessary yard waste, ready to be disposed, and she sees them as natural sources of joy and forms of entertainment. So as we talk about the dandelions of life, what if we looked at them through Miriam's eyes? As natural, ongoing sources of surprise, of joy, and blessing. We may get zoned in on our tasks, and God, meanwhile, is busy around us planting seeds that we may first see as interruptions to our compartmentalized lives. But what if we looked at those dandelions through Miriam's eyes? How might we see these seeds as gifts to us, even blessings, as a source of joy and surprise? As the world gets us down, as the burdens pile up, as the challenges of life face us all along, I think a passage like this invites us to wonder, how is God planting things today? It doesn't take much, as the passage said. It's all just a tiny seed. But it can start growing into something much bigger. So what might God be planting in your life today? Because I believe the kingdom of God is sprouting up all around us if we just have eyes to see it happening. What if all week long God is working in our lives to plant dandelion blessings? You know, just like opportunities for Miriam to learn, grow, and become her three-year-old self don't always fit into the schedule perfectly, the seeds of faith that God is planting in and around us are not just something that we can necessarily compartmentalize to Sunday mornings. They may interrupt our best laid plans, just like dandelions do to perfectly green yards. But maybe that's just what we need. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for being the kind of God who plants seeds of opportunity, of joy, of surprise, of blessing in our lives that can disrupt our compartmentalized schedules, agendas, and plans. God, I thank you for not leaving these lives to be boring. But help us to see these opportunities or see these seeds planted around us with eyes of wonder. What might they be? What might you be calling us to? God, thank you for being the giver of life and the giver of dandelion blessings each and every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And as you go on your way today, be comforted in knowing that Christ goes with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you watching over you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing. May we go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.